Welcome to Upworth United Methodist Church. I'm Pastor Debbie Weatherspoon. We are in the season of Easter. Yes, the great 50 days as we contemplate what it means to be followers of Christ in light of the resurrection as we, as a church community, move toward Pentecost, the birthday of the church. Our focus at Upworth during this season is on climate justice. Our scripture readings came from 1 John, and the reflection was on God is light, how Christ is the light in our lives, and how following as disciples, we are also people who care for the earth. God is our creator, created us in God's image, and calls us to be caretakers of this planet. So we pray that this is a blessing for you as we celebrate the beauty of the earth.
Thank you. Good morning, Epworth. I'm here to read the scripture today. It's found in the Pew Bible, page 238. The scripture is 1 John chapters 1 through 10 and 1 John chapters 2:1-2. We declare to you what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. This life was revealed, and we have seen it and testify to it, and declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us. We declare to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We're writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we are walking in darkness, we lie and do not do what is true. But if we walk in light, in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin, but if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. God bless the reading of his word.
Thank you, Mary. If Mary did indeed get you to open your pew Bible, oh, they laughed, Mary. I don't know why they laughed about that. But if she did, and if you're interested, you can, you know, keep it open, and I'll invite you to turn to page 118. I just thought I'd go with the flow here. We'll get to it in a minute. So everyone, the great 50 days have begun. We celebrated Resurrection Sunday, and with that, we have transitioned from a 40-day season of fasting, for some of us, some kind of fasting that we called Lent, and now we are in a 50-day season of feasting, which, yay, yeah, we got feasting, fasting, feasting, yeah, more excitement about that. The risen Christ is present with the disciples 40 days before his ascension. In fact, you can read about it yourselves on page 118, the book of Acts, just after the Gospel of John, and you can read in chapter 1. You'll find there in the third verse, after his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And then if you continue later, there was then 10 days after his ascension before the day of Pentecost. And we all are aware that Pentecost this year is on our calendar for May 19th, when we are going to be worshiping not in this building, but who knows where? At Easter Hill United Methodist Church. That's right. Very good. So the church calls this the Great 50 Days in celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and anticipation of our mission given to us on Pentecost. You may recall that our worship focus during Lent was following the way on sacred land, and we heard from the First Nations New Testament version of the scripture reading. And that's a nice transition into our focus during the Easter season on climate justice. Naturally, this concerns the land as well, and next Sunday is Native American Ministry Sunday. So we'll continue building our consciousness and awareness. It's all connected. Our worship series is titled, How Shall We Live? It's a collaboration of climate justice leaders and our denomination's discipleship ministries.
I was drawn to engage in this series because of two collaborators in the production of it in particular. One is Reverend Christina Sinks, who I've known since she was in eighth grade at Los Altos United Methodist Church. And some of you may recall Christina because she had an internship here while she was a student at Garrett Evangelical Theological Seminary. She is a provisional deacon. That means that she is on her way toward full ordination as a deacon in this annual conference. And she works at Green Faith, an international interfaith environmental organization. So she helped collaborate with this, this series, as well as Reverend Lori Bayon, who is a colleague who serves a United Methodist congregation in Windsor. And you're going to hear a little bit more about her later in the series when I speak about her Sacred Ground smartphone app outreach project. It's very exciting. They're both part of what's called the United Methodist Creation Justice Movement. As a United Methodist, my faith compels me to steward, protect, and defend God's good creation and to seek justice for those impacted by the climate crisis. That was my opening sentence in a letter I recently sent to Congress. Congress has the opportunity and responsibility to advance climate policies that reflect a vision of justice for God's people and God's planet. In 1968, the Apollo 8 mission sent astronauts around the moon. As the astronauts emerged from the dark side of the moon, they were greeted by an unexpected sight. They saw the Earth rising over the moon like a brilliant blue and white marble set against the blackness of space. This awe-inspiring image, captured in the photograph dubbed Earth Rise, has had a profound impact on our spiritual understanding of God's creation. I read that the interfaith dialogue flourished as we realized our shared connection to Earth. First-time protections for the Earth were born. Earth Day, the Clean Air Act, the Clean Water Act, and even the EPA, Environmental Protection Agency, were all launched as a result of the stunning view of Earth. All of this was influenced by the views that came back from space. Now, when the moon passes between the sun and Earth, creating a total solar eclipse tomorrow, some people of faith in its path will be looking skyward, well, safely, I hope, to observe the phenomenon from a spiritual and scientific perspective. Some will gather at retreat centers to reflect on the eclipse as a metaphor for the darkness and shadow in their own lives. Now, although we do not reside in the path of totality, we are nonetheless interested, and perhaps taking time out to be contemplative. Certainly is something that is capturing our universal attention. Gatherings of people is always an opportunity to remember our common ground, our common sky and sun and moon too. Fellowship is the heart of our faith. It's where joy is to be found. Scripture reads, "We are writing these things so that our joy may be complete." That was our scripture reading in 1 John, and that 1 John readings are our focus throughout this resurrection season, except for next Sunday when we have a guest preacher. So I'm going to pause now in the middle of the sermon, your regularly scheduled sermon, for a commercial break to let you all know that next Sunday our guest preacher is Reverend Linda Du Hirsu. Linda Du, as she was called when she was in high school, when her dad, Bill Du, was a pastor here, is now a pastor at the Table United Methodist Church in Sacramento. And she and her community did a climate justice series during Lent, and I asked her to bring one of her messages and rework it for us here in this series, so it has a different scripture, and that's all next week. So back to your regularly scheduled sermon. And so the Gospel of John introduced God and God's Word as creators of life and light. You remember that. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This text now in 1 John is a community to call together to acknowledge the Word of God in Jesus. This text affirms the primary commandments of the gospel, which is, of course, to believe in God and to love one another. Love God, love neighbor. So we are receiving the teachings that ongoing faith in God leads to ethical living in community with each other. And so, like Carlos asked the children, we ask ourselves, what kind of impact do we want to have on the world around us? The physical world, the human world? What example do we give of how we are to live in this world? Well, the gospel and the teaching from 1 John says, walk. Crop walk, perhaps. Walk in your daily life, showing up. Walk on. Walk in such a way that the world is left a better place, cleaner, sustainable, abundant. Walk, because we are people of the resurrection who know that death is not the final word, but a promise of life. Drawn to God's unquenchable light, we are also drawn into each other's presence. What has been hidden is now revealed, and we are woven together with all of creation. When we live in the light, God is in the light, and we are one with each other. Amen.
Caminando en la luz de Dios, caminando en la luz de Dios, caminando en la luz de Dios, caminando, caminando en la luz de Dios, caminando, caminando, caminando en la luz de Dios. I know.